I am sure that you have had experiences like I have, where God stepped into your lives during a time of duress at just the right time and surprised you in a miraculous way. Let's talk about just such a thing happening in Bible times. Our first story takes place in 2 Kings 4. A Shunammite woman and her husband built an upper chamber for the prophet Elisha, who often passed by and would be invited to eat with them. Elisha was so grateful and wanted to do something for her. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, pointed out that they had no son, and Elisha prophesied that the couple would have a son the next year, and they did. Some years passed, and the child fell seriously ill and died. The Shunammite woman went to Elisha and, in distress, questioned, why did she miraculously conceive only to lose the son? At the end of the story, Elisha raises the son to life by God's divine intervention. Later, he advises her and her family to move away from their home for 7 years to escape the famine that God had called for. And now about God's timing. 7 years later, Gehazi is talking to the king, who is asking about all the great things Elisha had done. Reading from Scripture. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land and from the day that she left the country until now." 2 Kings 8, 5-6. Another Bible story of God's perfect timing is in the story of Queen Esther. When her cousin Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman, Haman was furious and planned to have Mordecai and all the Jews killed. And here we have a story of God's wonderful timing. God revealed to the king through his nighttime reading of historical documents that Mordecai had once saved his life, and he had forgotten to thank and reward him. Now reading from Scripture. "What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this?" the king asked. "Nothing has been done for him," his attendants answered. The king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. His attendants answered, "Haman is standing in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?" Now Haman thought to himself, "Who is there that the king would rather honor than me?" So he answered the king, "For the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man with the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, 'This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor.'" "Go at once," the king commanded Haman. "Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended." So Haman got the robe and the horse. He rode Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered. Esther 6, 3-12. Haman died on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, as Queen Esther related to the king over the second banquet with him and Haman about the evil plan Haman had concocted. And now, a personal testimony about God's timing. Almost 12 years ago, I was in ministry in Kajabi, Kenya. Our youngest daughter and family came from Ethiopia to have their fourth child at the medical center there. After Rowan, their son, was born, he began to have some tremors. This was a concern, and he was seen by the pediatricians at the center, and diagnostic tests were made. But his case was puzzling. One day, our daughter and husband received a call from the medical center to hurry over as a pediatric neurologist was visiting for 2 days and was available to consult about Rowan's case. The doctor asked my daughter whether Rowan was nursing well, sleeping well, and gaining weight, and she answered yes to all three. He told her Rowan's tremors were benign and would eventually go away, and they did. How sweet of our Heavenly Father to bring that pediatric neurologist to Kajabi at that time for those 2 days to set our hearts at rest. Oh, wonderful Father in heaven, here we are, bowing in reverence before you and Jesus at your right hand. Intercede for us, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. We all have issues in our lives that we are constantly bringing before you in prayer. You know how human we are, and we find it hard to wait. Strengthen us to wait and trust your perfect timing. In your powerful name, amen.